Okay. Christmas 2018. The lady who listens these and uploads them on our website gets a kick out of the intros because you never know what's going to be on there, and sometimes she has to delete stuff. But she's just taking it on herself to do that, but she does a great job. Anyway, Christmas 2018. So, Father, we just thank you for this time of year. We ask that you be with us, that you encourage us, that you strengthen us. And Lord, I just want to echo what Terry shared, that you, each person in this room, not only the next 2 days, but over the next, every day the rest of our lives, that you would give us those God events to where there would be just a situation where we can be who we are in you, and that it will touch people, it'll change lives, it'll change hearts, and it'll bring people into the kingdom of God. So, Lord, just ask you to do that. And, Father, I pray, too, for everyone that's traveling today, tomorrow, Tuesday, that you would just take them safely there and safely back. And, Lord, just bless this message. Anything that's of you, pierce our hearts, and that which is, if there's anything that's not, that you would cause it to fall on the floor in front of us, we ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. So, Christmas. You know, as you look around and you read this and you read that, and you can go bananas. Did Christmas start first getting celebrated in the 5th century? Was it 96 years before they started celebrating it? Was it celebrated first in January, February, March, and then finally settled on it December 25th in the 400s? And you go bananas trying to figure it out. There was an article that came out that it really should be, came out through Christianity Today with some guy who did all this research, should be celebrated on November 17th. Who cares? Who cares? Jesus was born. Amen. And that's the important part, is Jesus was born. And the greatest gift of all, and all the, you know, different things that go on and so forth, that as a result of, you know, all the gift giving, that really is just a form of an expression of doing what God did for us. And that's giving this amazing gift. But again, the main point is that Jesus was born, which I think gives us good reason to celebrate every day of the year. Not just on, you know, it's interesting talking to a couple of my liturgical friends, and they're excited about this time of year. He says, yeah. I was talking to one the other day, and he says, yeah, I'm going to get to see some people I haven't seen since Easter, you know. And so they're just really excited, you know. I was talking to Jamie Smith, a friend of mine, and the guy that used to be the Catholic priest and I ride motorcycles with. He said that the masses will be overflowing, standing room only. And you hear that, but then you see that less than 20% of the people attend church on a regular basis. And that's just sad, because the truth of the matter is, it's about forming relationships. Because I don't know about you, I can't do it by myself. No. If I didn't have people around me to help me, to be there, to walk with me, to pray for me, to correct me, to rebuke me when I need to be rebuked, who knows where I'd be today. So I thank you for the job you do in that. And you can back off on trying to make me humble a little bit, you know, just kind of back off of that a little bit. But that's a gift, he just said. But the point is, Jesus was born. And it's a good reason to celebrate every day. What's it say in Isaiah 9:6? Which is one of my favorite scriptures. I got a lot of favorite scriptures, but anyway. ESV, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's a fantastic verse. I mean, the second part talks about how the government is going to be on his shoulders, which is basically saying Jesus has executive authority in the kingdom of God. He's the prince. That's what it's saying. And then also in the second part, there's some amazing names there. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, which are his names. And they describe who Jesus is and gives identity and meaning to what he is going to be do, because what he's going to do, because he walked out, he's all of these, but he walked out all of these things on earth for the 33 years he was here and is still doing even today. And they describe him. They describe his destiny. However, I want to talk about the first part of the verse, which talks about the greatest gift that was ever given. To us, a child is born. My favorite commentator for the book of Isaiah is a guy named Alec Moyet. And he says this about that phrase, to us a child is born. In his coming, all that results from his coming is at once secured. When he came, it was all taken care of. He was just going to merely walk it out. At the Bible study the other night, there was something I heard. I love going to Bible studies because I learn things all the time I don't know. And help me, Christian, here, but Jesus did, it was said that Jesus did what he did, often did what he did to fulfill the prophecies. So it controlled him to a degree. I've always looked at it as it was prophesied because they knew what he was going to do. So it gives you something to think about, okay? But in his coming, everything about him was secured. And then the second phrase, to us the Son is given. Again, reading from Isaiah's commentary on by Alec Moyer. Son expresses his maleness and the dignity in the royal line. He is in the royal line. He is the Son of God, the Lord of all. And he's the King of kings and Lord of all, Lord of lords. But it's said that he is a male and he is taking over his rightful spot in the kingdom. And this is the Son who's born, who's given to us, was born to be given to us. He was given to me, to each one of you, to us. We can personalize it. You know, I think that if we really saw and personalized this relationship we have with Jesus, I think you'd be better off. I think you'd have less issues. I know I would. Because he took care of it all. He is in relationship with me. Yeah, with you. You know, like we say around here, each one of us is his favorite. But he is our God. He is my Savior. He came for me. If there was nobody else that had ever sinned but me, Jesus would have still gone to the cross. Think about that. Think about that for yourself. And that's one of those things where you can meditate upon that for months and years. And you will be overwhelmed with his goodness, with his love, with the fruits of the Spirit that Terry was sharing earlier. You know, everything. It's a personal thing. And he did it for each one of us. And as believers, we have to receive that. It's important for us to receive that. Because if we do receive that, we're going to run after him. We're going to walk out. We're going to run the race that is set before us. I am convinced of that. See, it's in the Word of God. It's his heart. God has given us a child and a son. Now, through this, there's some things I'm doing. There's a sub-message in here about how we need to constantly examine ourselves. So when you think about this, it's good to ask questions, to examine ourselves. Do we really believe what I just said? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that you're worth him coming for you? In my position as a pastor, I've talked to too many people that don't believe that. And it's a lie. It's a lie from the very pit of hell, because each person that has received Christ is worth it. He paid the price. Do you think he paid the price for a joke? No, he paid the price because we're worth it. Do we really understand totally what it means that he's our Savior? Do we really understand totally what it means that he belongs to us, that we can take him personally, each one of us, that he is my Savior? He is my Lord. He is my Christ. Do we really understand that what it means that we belong to him, that we have been bought with a price? Do we understand it both in our hearts and minds? And you know, I believe we all do to some degree. Yet I think each one of us here, myself very much included, can grow in understanding. But as we do, even occasionally walk on the edge of disbelief. But as we do grow in understanding, I think we'll find that we will walk up to that edge of disbelief a lot less often. It's kind of that back to the yet and the not yet. So how do we answer any and all questions we might have? By examining the Word, by going to God in prayer, by meditating on it, by studying it, by even fasting it, and see how we can walk closer and closer to the total truth. And we do that by examining ourselves. It's always good to look at ourselves and say, what is my relationship with the Lord? Do I have idols in my life? At one point, I promised myself I would never ask that question again. Do I have idols in my life? He started showing them to me. And I said, stop. I'll look at 4 points. First is, to us a child is born. Charles Hadley Spurgeon says this, for this child is not born to you unless you are born to this child. It's a two-way street. He can't be born to us and we not be born to him. John 3:3 in the New Living Translation says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Those of us who are born again are the only ones that can claim that this child was born unto us. In the self-examining area, more questions that we might ask ourselves. When we entered into a relationship with Jesus, did our lives drastically altered by this child? Did newness come into our lives? Has this altering and newness caused our relationship with the child to become more intimate? A child was born to us. Second point. If this child is born unto us, then we've become a child. John 1:12, ESV. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of the living God. See, we naturally start out as a baby, you know. We do. And then as time goes by, we grow and mature into an adult, right? Well, when we're born again and we receive this grace of salvation, there's an amazing thing that happens. The reverse. We begin to start the process of growing from an adult into a child. Ever thought about that? Unless we become as one of these. It must be our goal to become like children, to develop that child-fathership, father relationship, as it says in Matthew 18:3, New Living Translation. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children. It didn't say like mature adults. You will never get into the kingdom of heaven. See, as we walk this process out, process of accepting him and process of walking it out, we draw nearer and nearer to God. And we become, hopefully, more and more like a child. See, the nearer we become to true childhood, the more we welcome the image of Christ in our lives. Continue with our self-examination. Questions we can ask ourselves. Are we becoming more and more like little children? Humble, simple, loving our Father. Do we take God's word just as it stands, simply because our Heavenly Father says so? I told you the story that by the grace of God, when I became a Christian, I had a Schofield's King James Version. that somebody gave me right after I became a Christian. It's funny because the person that gave it to me wasn't even a Christian. And I looked at it and said, you know, I don't understand this thing. Of course, I never really read it. But it's true. And I believe it. See, if we start going, well, I don't believe that part, then where do you stop? Amen. Right. It's either all true, or we need to just go get drunk and have a great time. Was that on tape?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Just kidding. But it's true. We need to walk after Him. Are we becoming more? Do we take the Word of God just as it stands simply because our Heavenly Father says so? Are we content to believe the mysteries of Christianity without demanding to have them explained to a place where we totally understand them? When we are in heaven, a trillion years to the trillionth power, and we see Jesus that day, I'm not saying there's going to be days in heaven. I have no idea. I've not been there. But when we see Jesus, we're going to see more of the Word that is unfolding before our very eyes. Because He's infinite. He's eternal. Are we ready to go down with Sarah to the nursery and be a little one at his feet? Maybe that's a plug for nursery workers. I didn't think about that. But the point is, are we really ready to be little children? Do we want to be? Simple. C.H. Spurgeon says this: are you willing to hang upon the breast of the church and suck in the unadulterated milk of the Word? That's how they wrote back then. Never questioning for a moment what your divine Lord reveals, but believing it on His own authority, whether it seemed to be above reason, beneath reason, or even contrary to reason. In other words, are we going to walk in the wisdom of God, or are we walk in the wisdom of man, which is folly before God? Our goal must be like to be like the little one, believing. I mean, you look at father-son, father-daughter relationships when they're children, which is where we're supposed to be, not teenagers, okay? But 4 and 5 and 3 years old, you know? Looking over at Sean and his son sitting there on his lap, you know? Believing Him, trusting Him. That's what children do, and we're called to trust God no matter what He says or does. If you don't believe it, and you got a 2 or 3 year old, put them on the mantle and ask them to jump into your arms. She will, because she trusts you. He trusts you. And that's how we are to be with the Father. He is good. What did Jesus say? There is none good, none but God. But He's good. And He wants the best for us, even when it's above our reason, below our reason, or it seems totally unreasonable to us. Please don't say to me, God gave us a mind to renew our minds. We're to trust God no matter what He says or does. If a parent puts that child up there, He's going to do that. Third point, to us a son is given. The Son of the living God was given to us, to me, to you, to each one here. It's a gift. It's a precious gift. And through that, we obtained our salvation. But not only that, through that, we have been created to be all that God has called us to be, whatever that is. And remember, around here, whatever that is, that's important. That's so important. Because you need every part of the body. I mean, you can go to the scriptures, you know. Can the head say to the foot, I don't need you? You know. Cut both your legs off and see how far you can walk down the street. Pluck your eyes out and see if you can see the beauty of God's grace in this world and all the beautiful things that He's created. Last night there was this amazing, was it last night?
Yes.
Yeah, amazing sunset. It was just gorgeous. Can you imagine not having eyes? You know? Can you imagine not having any part of your body? And we're all parts of God's body. We're all needed. But it may be difficult to believe this if we have a difficult time seeing God as our Father for whatever reason. And there's a lot of reasons. I had a really hard time for the first 10 years. And it's because of the relationship I had with my natural father. But fortunately, God came to me. So yes, we have more questions that we should ask ourselves. Always examine ourselves. Do we see God as our Father? Or do we struggle in that area? Do we relate to God as our Father? It's one thing to see Him. It's another thing to interact with Him in that way. And it's another thing yet to submit to Him as God our Father. You know, it's like I like to say, there's four-letter words in the church today. Submission, authority, responsibility, and commitment. And unfortunately, there's been some good reasons for those to come, but that doesn't make it right. Do we trust God like a child? Do we believe that God gives us good gifts? You know, it's like the scripture says. You know, if you ask for whatever, He's not going to give you a rock. Was that a fish? Yeah, fish. Pardon? For bread. Thank you. I love that we have these Bible scholars around here. That's not a sarcastic statement. I mean that in all honesty. Because I aren't one. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Fourth point. If unto us a son is given, then we are given to the Son. And that begs even more questions that we probably should be asking ourselves to examine ourselves. Do we understand, really understand the price He paid for us? See, I grew up in a liturgical mainline church. Page 5 on the first, second, and third Sunday. Page 15 on the fourth Sunday. And in that was responsive readings and things we would repeat. Well, I would repeat them while I was looking around. I had no idea what I was saying. But they were here, but they didn't get here. Understanding brings them here. I mean, there's some powerful, you know, I remember the first time I went back to that particular denomination after I was a Christian, I started listening to them. I went, that's powerful. It's really powerful. But we can take Jesus and go, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, He's my Lord and Master. Yeah, He's my Savior. Yeah, I've been bought with a price. Yeah. But we need to grasp it. And we need to hold on to it. And we need to meditate upon it. Do we understand that we were bought? That we were given to Him? Do we understand that since He bought us, we are now owned by Him? He's our Master. He's our Lord. We're His servants. He owns us. He owns our very life. We were bought with a tremendous price. The death of the Son of the living God, the Christ. Our lives are not our own. They really aren't. And I think just if you read the scriptures, you begin to understand that. That everything we do should be submitted to God in prayer. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, Lord, should I drink this glass of water? Or, Lord, should I run that red light? I mean, there's some obvious things here, okay? There's traffic going across. Should I run that red light? Well, okay. But you understand what I'm saying? He gave His life for us so that we could be birthed into eternal life, so we can be birthed into everything He has for us. And He made us sons and daughters. If we have given ourselves to the Son, then the Son has given Himself unto us. In fact, you could really say He gave Himself unto us when we are His enemies. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. If you believe these things, and I know we all deal with disbelief. Praise God for God's grace and the fact that we're walking out who who we are in Christ and learning to do that better and better. But if we believe this, and we can see this, as a guy Joseph Bailey said, praise God. Praise God for Christmas. Praise Him for the incarnation, for the Word made flesh. Then he goes on, I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bare in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing star with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his Son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite eternal Son who became most finite, a baby, who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise him in the heavens, praise him in the stable, praise him in my heart. He's not saying don't sing the songs we sang this morning, but he's saying God is worthy of worship and praise because who God is. It's not because of what God did for us. If we had the most horrible of lives, like Job, but in the end, he praised him. We need to praise him for everything, but because he is God. And we need to become like Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, many, many questions have been suggested here this morning for purpose of doing self-examination. And again, that's always good for us to do before the Lord. I do it pretty much on a regular basis. Lord, how I'm doing here, how I'm doing there. Haven't gotten a report card other than the one time that had a prophetic word over me that said, I've looked at the book and there's nothing held against you. And if you're in Christ, you can get the same report card. You're getting an A. You're getting an A. Just how it is. But Mary was thrust into a situation that was rather unexpected, that she didn't quite know what to do with. And that's why she pondered it. It's, I mentioned this last week, but Luke 1:28-29, reading out of the New American Standard Bible. And coming in, he said to her, that's Gabriel that said this, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was, pondering ongoing. It wasn't just a moment, but it was ongoing. And that word pondering means to reckon, to consider, to think out carefully, to reason thoroughly. Now in Luke 2:18-19, and again in the New American Standard Bible, it says this, and all who heard it wondered, heard what the shepherds were saying, at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart, again, ongoing. And that word pondering is a different Greek word for that pondering, but the means are fairly similar. It means to consider, to put together, to reflect on, to think about seriously, to think deeply about. It's not just, oh, that was kind of cool, and go on with life and forget about it. Think about this. She was there. I mean, she was right smack in the middle of, dab in the middle of it all. And she's pondering it. Not only did she ponder that, I'm sure she actively pondered these things ongoing for years to come, but there were things that Jesus kept doing, like remember when he was 12 in the temple and the different things that Jesus would do. You don't think she was in pondering those things too? Even up to the point on the cross when she looks down at the disciple and says, this is your daughter or your mother, and this is your son. The power of that. Just all the things. See, it's so deep that, you know, it's like it says at the end of John. I suppose if everything Jesus said or did, if you put it in the books, the world couldn't hold all the books. But yet he gave us this because he knew it's all we needed. And yet all too much of the time it collects dust, of which I can be chief sinner at times. She knew what was happening, excuse me, was eternal. And she knew it was difficult to understand. Now, I know I'm taking a little liberty, but she pondered it because Mary wanted to understand. I mean, the women here, put yourself in that position. You're what, 14, 15 years old, which is probably what she was, maybe 13. Gabriel shows up and said, blessed among all women. You're not pregnant. Excuse me. I took biology in school. And then she has this baby. After going on this long trip, probably in the 8th or 9th month, and it was longer because when they went from one spot to the other, they wouldn't go through Samaria. They had to go around it, which added about 20 miles or so. And then these shepherds start talking about all this stuff. And then 2 years later, these kings show up with all this stuff. You don't think he'd ponder it? We should. As we read through the prophecies in the Old Testament, which talk about him, and as we read through the New Testament, look at his birth and all the things that took place afterwards in the New Testament, we should ponder these things. We should meditate upon them. Last thing we want to do is take any of this for granted. We just need to make sure we grow in understanding in all the things of God that we can. See, but it's not a legalistic thing. If we're born again, why wouldn't we want to know about this person who once we once had, our righteousness was as filthy rags, who Jesus said there's none good, that included us. Who came when we hated him, as it says in the scriptures. And yet, gave up his life. And the agony, you know the agony, because when you read it in Matthew, not once, not twice, but 3 times, he says, let this cup pass from me. Sweating drops of blood. And yet he says, not my will, but your will. Why wouldn't we want to know this person? Why wouldn't we want to ponder, meditate upon, think about these things, examine ourselves? Because we want to make sure we follow Jesus to the max. We want to make sure that we mature into a child. We want to make sure that we continue to mature throughout our whole life as followers of Jesus, which we can do as we walk in Mary's footsteps, pondering all the things while allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us as we do that. And of all people, we can rejoice. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And that's why we celebrate. And again, I don't really care what day he was born. He was born. He was born. And I'm the recipient. And you guys here, I'm confident as I look around the room, are the recipients of his grace, of his salvation, of being born again. And it started with him being a child and us becoming like children. Amen?